I'm a fan of coffee. Any other coffee fans in the room this evening? Yeah, some of you who's staying awake mainly by coffee. It is Christmas after all. A few, definitely. Some people at the front who've been singing apparently needed coffee mainly. It's lovely, isn't it, when you get to around kind of Christmas time and within the shops, kind of, you know, you're reaching Christmas when Christmas coffees start appearing in the shops. And I know a number of people who get very excited just merely by the appearance of Christmas mugs, you know, as in the takeaway cups from Costa or various other places, other coffee shops are available, that when they start getting festive and somehow that says Christmas is near. I felt that maybe Costa naming their coffees the Real Stars of Christmas was maybe a little bit far for what Christmas coffee is really about. Their kind of strap line for this Christmas was, wish upon a Costa. Which, of course, is a play on words from Wish Upon a Star, the idea that you wish upon a star. Or I heard someone the other day, when I was in church, and in another church, and there were people who put kind of hopes upon a Christmas tree, and someone said, well, of course, if you hang a wish on a Christmas tree in church, it's definitely going to come true. And my groan wasn't just inward at that point. You know, wish upon a Costa, and I am a deep believer in the power of a good cup of tea. But I don't think it makes your wishes come true. I wonder if Costa have missed the point a little bit. And I wonder if sometimes we're in danger of missing the point too. We get to this time of year and lots gets made about kind of the manger scene. Lots gets made about Jesus being born in a place where they kept animals. You know, we have the whole image of the manger scene, don't we? We had the nativity service this morning, and it's all kind of building up to that climactic point at the end as we gather together and we build up that tableau of the nativity scene. In my house, there are more kind of nativity manger scenes than I would like to count. In one room, we've got more than one now, which I feel is excessive. But we kind of get this big image of it, and we have this focus upon the manger. I mean, it's great for ministers because the puns kind of write themselves. Danger in the manger and many others that I can use. Christmas Day is still coming, so there are more that I can build upon. But actually, if we just focus on the animal feeding trough, the danger is that we miss the point and what it's pointing to. We've been thinking a bit about great joy. The animal feeding trough was a sign. We heard this in Luke chapter 2. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you, the angels say to the shepherds. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The point wasn't the manger. It was a sign to them about who they would find there. It was a sign towards the message that the angels had given them, which a lot of what we've been doing this evening has been focused around. The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The angels had this message of good news, of great joy for all people. And we're just going to take a minute to come back to the Bible and look at, well, why is it that the birth of Jesus is said to be good news of great joy for all people? Even if you're not a follower of Jesus and you've just come along this evening because you've been dragged by family or tradition or whatever it may be, you must have realised that there's some people who believe something significant about Jesus. I mean, it is Christmas after all. You must have realised there's something beyond coffee and Christmas. So why is it that angels back then and Christians today would say that Jesus is good news of great joy to all people? The angels announce this good news. They say, today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. This is the good news that they're talking about, that this saviour has been born. They announce that he's a saviour, that he's Messiah and the Lord. That a saviour has come, that a rescuer has come. When an angel appears to Joseph and tells him about Jesus to be born, he says that Jesus is going to save his people from their sins, announcing the reason why Jesus has come, to rescue people, to rescue us from the consequences of sin. of our separation from God, of our turning from him, to rescue us from the consequences of sin and death. And sometimes maybe we don't think much of that. Sometimes maybe it's easy to kind of ignore that picture of Jesus coming as Saviour, because so often we don't feel like we need rescuing. There is a nice beach in part of the UK. It looks like this. I read this story and I then looked up where it was. And I was shocked to find out where it was, because I can't imagine this part of the country looking like this. This is a beach, Moray Beach, and it's in the north of Scotland. So... I mean, I'm not going to say I've been to Scotland much, because, I mean, if you go north of Oxford, it's just wet and cold, isn't it? Yeah, good, right, three people are with me. And I've just upset the other half of the room, but anyway. So there's this beach up there, and it is cut off from the land. The only way to get across it is this bridge, a little aerial view for there. It is cut off from the land. You can only get across it on this little footbridge. And back in the height of the summer, back in the height of the warmth, when even the sun had stretched as far as Scotland, people wanted to go to the beach. The only problem was, is that a couple of days before, people had noticed that this old pedestrian bridge was leaning to one side. And they thought, that's probably not a very good idea, so they closed it. But people thought, well, that's all right, because I can just wade across the estuary leading out there. We'll just wade our way across, and the story is people carrying buggies above their heads and wading through the water, all fine to get for a day on the beach. Which was fine, until about 5 p.m, when, because it's a tidal estuary, the water was somewhat deeper than when they got out there. Unknown to them, they found themselves cut off. And about 50 people, mainly teenagers, apparently, had found themselves stuck on the wrong side of the river. And emergency crews carried people carefully across the bridge or by boat back to safety. It's possible to find yourself in a place of not realizing how in danger you are. Jesus came to save, whether we always realize that we need saving or not. The angels announced good news that a Savior has been born, who is Messiah. Messiah is a word that means anointed one or chosen one. That this is the one who had been sent by God to come and rescue people. This is the one who would come and fulfill all these Old Testament prophecies that we've been hearing about. We've heard lots from the Old Testament, from Isaiah and other books this evening, of the prophecies, the hope that there was to come. God's chosen people, Israel, were called and chosen to be a blessing to the whole world. But they'd failed to live up to that. They'd failed to do as they were meant to do. They turned their backs on God. They'd lived the wrong way. And Jesus was this chosen one, this one who would come and would fulfill always what they were meant to be and would be a blessing to the whole world. Somewhere in that picture, we capture something of ourselves too. Israel, who failed to live up to the expectations that were laid upon them. And so often we know that's true for ourselves too. So often we know that we fail to live up to, so often if we're honest, even our own expectations, yet alone the expectations of others. And let's not talk about the expectations that God might rightfully place upon us. Jesus came to save and was the chosen one to be able to do it. I like that picture of being stranded in water, because it reminds us, or reminds me, something of where we all are. This is someone swimming the channel, an impressive swim that some people can manage. You stick me on one side of the channel, I will not be swimming to the other side. I can tell you that for sure. See what I did there? Thank you. But stick me and this person in the middle of the Atlantic, and I might be able to swim 100 metres and they might be able to swim a few miles, but we're both stuffed. We're not going to make it back to land. However strong a swimmer you are, you're not going to make it from the middle of the Atlantic. And maybe you think, well, I'm a good person. I try my best. I know I fail sometimes, but I do okay. And I know there's a lot of others who do a lot worse than me. Yet when it comes to measuring ourselves against Jesus, against his chosen one, to God's standards, all of us are stranded. Some might be able to get further than others, but all of us find ourselves stranded. Jesus was the chosen one who came to save. And he was able to do that because of what the angel said about him. The Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is the one who had come. The one who was coming was the one who would come and save, the one who was chosen by God to do it. And he was able to do it because this is the Lord. This is God coming to us in Jesus Christ. God himself will make the way in order for us to be saved. This is the good news that the angels were talking about. That in Jesus, a Savior, a rescuer has come, who's chosen by God, God himself come to save us. And they said that this is great joy. And again in the readings that we've had tonight, if you've been paying attention carefully, you have picked out this image of joy. From Isaiah chapter 9, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. It's a picture looking ahead to a time of great joy. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves, isn't it? In a place of looking ahead to a time of great joy. That somehow it's on the horizon that the good times will come. Maybe you're looking ahead just to a few days' time of, well, it's when we finally make it to Christmas. That'll be a time of great joy. Or maybe there's other things that you're hoping for, that you're looking ahead to. Or even just things that you want to get through. Well, when I made it through this, then things will be better. This is a really busy week, but next week will be a quieter week. Said all busy people ever. It's on the horizon. It's somewhere just up ahead that things will be better. And it's like something that maybe sometimes we feel we're grasping for, we're stretching for, but we can't quite reach. This promise of great joy that the angels were giving isn't something that's ahead, but they were saying it's come now. They're saying it's in the here and now, this great joy for you. Because this one who has come, this one who has come in Jesus now, is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That actually it's not something that's far off and that we're waiting for, but something that is here and now and has arrived in Jesus. We heard those words from Psalm 98. And quite well-known words about going out and shouting for joy. But there's this little verse in there, in verse 3, talking about God. He has remembered his love. Not that God has forgotten to be loving. But in this promise it's looking ahead to, in Jesus, we see the love of God. The angels come screaming into this narrative of the Christmas story with good news of great joy. Not of God's condemnation of us. Not of God's judgment. But of a God of love. But of a God who loved the world so much that he would send his Son. He has remembered his love. That's why this is a story of great joy. And those words from Isaiah 52. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I. I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. The people will know my name. The picture we have in Jesus coming is of God coming and meeting us. Of not a God who is far off and is distant, but a God whose name we can know, who we can draw close to in Jesus Christ. This is why the angels can declare that this is good news of great joy. And they say it's for all people. Of course, the birth of a child is something exciting for the parents. That's good news of great joy for them. We read about Jesus being called the King of the Jews. And we might expect it to be good news of great joy for the Jewish people. But here the angel declares that this is good news of great joy for all people. That Jesus was going to be a blessing, not just to a few people, not just to some shepherds or some wise men or to Mary and Joseph, not just to the Jewish nation, but for all people. That Jesus was good news of great joy for you. You are included in that all people. Good news of great joy for you. And that's where we come back to the manger. Because that manger was to the shepherds a sign, a pointer. I bring you good news of great joy for all people, and you'll find the one wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It was a sign to them. When you go and you find this really unusual sight of a newborn baby lying in an animal's feeding trough, that's the sign to you that this is the one who is Saviour, who's Rescuer, who's Messiah, who's the Lord. That's how you'll know who it is. What are the signs that God is giving you? What are the signs that maybe God is screaming into your life of who Jesus is? What are the signs that maybe God is just whispering to you of who Jesus is? This Saviour, this Messiah, this Lord. What would it take for you to listen to him? What would it take for you to do what the shepherds did, and to get up and to go and to see who this was? They heard the angel's message and they went to go and find out what was true. One of the Psalms says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." They got up and went to go to see what this was all about. Are you willing to taste and come to know a little bit of who God is, and discover for yourself, as the shepherds did, that this is good news of great joy for you? And they didn't just go and discover this for themselves. After they'd gone, they grasped hold of this message that this was good news of great joy. And it wasn't just for them, it was for all people. And so we read that after they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning him to others. They got that this was news that was good enough to go and tell other people. And they even, unlike us sometimes, didn't get distracted by all the stuff around the edge. They didn't go and tell people, "You know, we found this really unusual thing. There was a kid in an animal's feeding trough. Really strange." What we're told that they went and told people was the good news about this child. They went and told people about this amazing child that they'd been told about. Their focus was in the right place. That they found the Saviour, the Messiah, and the Lord. They had a joy that they couldn't help sharing with others. And they went on to tell the world about it. That they had found good news of great joy for all people. So might we be a people who look past the manger, can look past the Christmas coffee, and see the real star of Christmas. That in Jesus, we have someone who's good news of great joy for all people.